Hello and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Emily.
And I'm Erin.
And we are back. We've been gone the last couple of months, you know, just some busyness, some summer stuff, you get it. But we are absolutely ready and back to discuss Taylor's newest release coming out, which is Red, Taylor's version. And this whole month we are going to be doing episodes, breaking down everything about the album and all the little teases that Taylor has been doing.
Yes, and honestly, over the summer, there wasn't that much recent stuff to talk about.
It was a very dry period.
So now things are starting to heat up a little bit with the release of Red right around the corner in a couple of weeks. So we're excited to speculate about that today and then just talk about the Red era in general, the re-release era and the previous Red era from 2012.
Yes. So today we thought we would go over what we know about the vault tracks and talk a little bit about Taylor's presence on TikTok, which is like a huge new thing for her because it's like a totally new social media presence. And then we also want to talk about Project Acorn. I don't know if you've heard about it, Erin.
Yes, I have. You told me about it, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah, so there was like a sign outside of Taylor's New York City apartment and it said like Acorn.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's speculating that it's like maybe like a Red concert session or a re-recorded music video or something like that. So that'll be interesting to talk about as well.
Yeah, and honestly, our clowning and theorizing never really pans out that well, and it's kind of like awkward to listen back when it doesn't turn out. But you know what? That's part of the fun is knowing that there's like a 99% chance that what you think is going to happen isn't going to happen, but that's okay. We're still going to try to guess.
Well, and Taylor dressed up as a squirrel for Halloween, so it kind of connects, and hopefully it does pan out this time. So do we want to get into breaking down the vault tracks? Okay, so I pulled something off of the Taylor Swift subreddit. It's very helpful. It's called Everything We Know About the Red Vault Tracks, and here is what we know about them. So one of the vault tracks is Nothing New. Okay, so Nothing New is the one that is featuring Phoebe Bridgers, mm-hmm. and I am a fan of Phoebe. I don't think you are. You said, like, I play her sometimes, so you've listened to her. But
yeah, I'm like a casual listener, I guess you could say. I really don't know her music that well, so
I feel like if you put Phoebe on anything, it's gonna be like heart-wrenching and you're gonna cry, so that's what I'm expecting from that one.
I'm honestly, let's also just say, you know, we love Taylor, however her most recent collaborations with women have been background vocals, I think we can all agree.
Not even, just like the airiest little background.
So honestly, if I had to expect anything from this song, it's that Phoebe will be mostly background vocals, but maybe we'll be surprised.
Yeah.
In that respect, maybe she'll actually have a verse to herself, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so interestingly enough, there were a few lyrics from Nothing New that were in one of the Lover Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's said to have similar vibes to The Lucky One, mm-hmm. because the lyrics are, I'm getting older and less sure of what you like about me anyway. How can a person know everything at 18 and nothing at 22? And will you still want me when I'm nothing new?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, when I read those lyrics, the first thing that came to mind was, it just reminded me of that John Mayer song, the ones like, will you love me when I'm not myself? Or is that how it goes?
Oh, yeah.
Like, to me, the lyrics just struck me as so similar. Like, all I heard was that song.
Part of me is like, it does give me the Lucky One vibes, but also I'm like, is it like the darker side of 22?
Yeah, it could be. I thought it was like, interesting that she mentions 22.
And Erin just turned 22.
Yeah.
So that's fun to have your age in a song.
I guess so. Yeah, I think it's just funny how she's like, I knew everything at 18 and now I know nothing. It's like, you knew everything at 18, Taylor. Like, that's kind of funny. But anyway,
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Cardigan, too. Like, I knew everything when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taylor has talked about the song before. She said, it's about being scared of aging and things changing and losing what you have. It's a really vulnerable song, but I think it's important to say.
Yeah, this one's, like, honestly a little bit, I don't want to say scary, but It should be interesting, like you said, for me, as somebody who just turned 22, like, a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to be interested to hear what she has to say about the age 22.
I just think it's going to be, like, the lucky one, I think. It's, like, Taylor is, well, you know, whatever. It's, like, there's always going to be a new name in lights. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a new up-and-coming star that's going to, like, take away your star power. But you just have to kind of, like, live with yourself at the end of the day. So I think that's what it's going to be about.
Yeah. I was reading the Lover journal entry that referenced this song. And she actually mentioned, just like you were saying, the idea of relevancy. And so I think that's also part of this song, basically, just as she's getting older, which is honestly kind of fun to think about because she was only 22 at the time. Now she's almost 10 years later, 32. And she was worried about, like, being old, I guess, at least from what it sounds like at 22. But it's nice to know that 10 years later, she's still as relevant as ever. So it seems like part of the worry was a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, that is really cool. Okay, so the next one is Message in a Bottle. And this one will not have a feature. It's just Taylor.
Okay.
What Taylor said about it. The week Red dropped, Taylor said, "Songs for me are like a message in a bottle. You send them out to the world, and maybe the person who you feel that way about will hear it someday."
Yeah, I kind of like what she said about that song. I think it's sort of, I don't know, it's very Taylor to say, like, oh, this song's a message in a bottle, and hopefully, but, so yes, I think what she said about it, of course, is obviously going to be part of it, because she's the one who wrote the song, but then, I don't know, I wonder if there's also going to be an element of just her other songs, basically, where they're all, even though they're geared toward and meant for one person, hopefully it'll be a universally relatable track, and it's like whoever picks up this song, whoever listens to it, so whoever picks up the message in a bottle, like, it's gonna meet them at whatever place they're at. I don't know.
I really like that, like, the way that she described it, and it kind of gives me the vibe of when she was spending all the time in Massachusetts and, like, in New England back in the Red era.
Yeah.
I think it just gives me, like, beachy vibes. And then it's interesting that she would write a song called that, because there's, like, that super popular song by The Police, Message in a Bottle, so.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. If I had to guess what the sound will be like, I kind of expect it to be a slower song and probably acoustic. I don't know. That's just,
yeah, definitely.
That's a guess. But of course, most of my guesses turn out wrong, so it'll probably be like a super upbeat, like, rock song.
I remember when we were talking about Evermore, the day it was coming out, and we were like, oh, Cowboy Like Me, what the hell? And we were like, Gold Rush, I don't know.
I know, we're like, this could be a Western album, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so the next song is I Bet You Think About Me, and this one is going to be featuring Chris Stapleton, who is having an insane year because it was just announced that he's going to be on the Easy on Me, like, re-release, that song that Adele just put out. They're going to, like, re-release it featuring Chris Stapleton. So, like, he's on the two biggest albums of the year.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. But this one actually was written up by The Inner Circle, that one website that has, like, all of Taylor's, like, demos and unreleased music. So they write, Taylor shares a contrast between her life growing up and that of the boy she loves. He grew up in a silver spoon gated community and she was raised on a farm. Despite them being in love, reality set in and he realized they were too different to stay together forever. The chord progression and vocal melodies are incredibly beautiful throughout. The vocal lines tend to play over and over in my head long after I listen to the song. So that's what the guy Steve from The Inner Circle said.
Yeah, the first time I read the title of the song, I Bet You Think About Me, I immediately thought of I Almost Do, which is one of my favorite. And it is a
reference to that song.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Taylor songs. So I'm excited for this one. Probably the most excited because I feel like it'll have, even though the way it's described doesn't really sound that much like I Almost Do, but I'm expecting it to kind of have similar themes just based off the title. And I'm excited about the whole idea of, like, comparing somebody who had a really I guess, upper class upbringing compared to Taylor, who, from what I've, like, read, also grew up rich, so I don't know.
It could be fictional, but then also people were saying it might have been about Connor Kennedy, but I don't think the time adds up for that.
Yeah, because, I don't know, it doesn't really, just based off the surface, kind of just, like, very brief summary, sound like it would be about Taylor, since she did kind of grow up, like, not wealthy, but upper class, from what I understand.
Yeah, and apparently it was written by Lori McKenna, who's, like, a huge Nashville songwriter, and she's super talented, so I'm really excited to hear that one. What I'm excited about is the fact that it relates to I Almost Do, because we both really like that song a lot.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it'll have any more parallels to it.
Yeah, I would think so. And hopefully a lot of imagery, because I Almost Do, I feel like, has really great imagery. As far as Chris Stapleton goes, I don't really listen to his music that much. I'm a little bit familiar with some of it. I think now his voice, to me, would really serve well as background vocal for Taylor. I don't mean to diss him at all. I mean, he's got a good voice, and of course he can be a verse, but I also almost think that I kind of would prefer for him to just be background vocal, because I think that he and Taylor would sound really good together like that, but
he has a very powerful voice, too.
Yeah, if we go based on the trends, he probably will have his own verse.
And Phoebe will be in the back.
Like, but maybe we will be surprised. We will see.
I think that one is probably the one I'm most excited about, to be honest. It sounds really intriguing.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay, Forever Winter. Taylor said on June 11, 2011, during a concert in Detroit, she had written 10 songs, all of them sad. They could also be some of the early favorites her dad mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know about that. And that is another one that is going to be just Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my first impression, based on the title, is what has already been known, I guess, about the song, that it's going to be sad. Forever Winter. Definitely strikes me as a sad song.
On this post, they just grouped Forever Winter and The Very First Night together because we know nothing about them. So,
Yeah, I think
they both give me Jake vibes.
Yeah, me too. And I was just gonna say, like, Red is a very, I guess, seasonal album, you could say, with the title track being about, with the title track referencing fall, right? Am I correct in that? So it's interesting because I do kind of think of this album as very autumn themed. So,
but then you think about The Moment I Knew, which is about her birthday, which is in December.
So yeah.
I love winter songs because my birthday is in late December. Mm-hmm. I'm only a week apart from Taylor. So
yeah, I love that. I'm excited for this one. Maybe. I don't know. It might be really sad. Oh, so The Very First Night, to me, that reminded me of Enchanted, because Enchanted, obviously, is all about Taylor meeting somebody for the very first time, and just how that first moment that she met whoever the song is about is just, was such a striking moment and meant so much. So to me, that song, I expect, will have similar themes to Enchanted, and
I think it will too, but I think it's gonna be like, after it's over, she's gonna be singing from the point of it being over, and she's like singing about The Very First Night, which is so sad. Like, it's gonna get in my feels.
Yeah, I think it'll be like that too, which, again,
it's really depressing.
It should be pretty sad.
And then Forever Winter, yeah, I just think it'll be like, you know, the everything is frozen in time, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm honestly, if I had to choose one I'm the least excited for, it's probably Forever Winter, just because I could be completely surprised. Of course, Taylor is a little bit unpredictable, but I feel like just based on the title, I kind of have a sense of what it's going to be like, and it's probably going to be slow, probably going to be, like, pretty acoustic, and will have sad lyrics about your love ending being, like, a forever winter. But again, I could be completely wrong.
There's this artist, I never know how to say her name. I think it's Kina Granis or Kina Granis. She has a beautiful song called Winter. And it's exactly what I expect this song to be about. So if you want to listen to that song, that's what I expect.
Mm-hmm. But you never know, because Taylor did start out as a country songwriter. And I know that the whole country genre, one of the big things with that is...
to twist the meaning.
Yes, is to start out with a meaning, and a meaning that kind of strikes something in everybody, like the same thing, and then twist it and make it something else. So it might be one of those. Or it could be comparing your love ending to a forever winter, which is kind of what I expect.
What I'm expecting, too, is for every single one of these vault tracks to be slow. Except maybe Run, which is what we're going to talk about next. So yes. Let's get into that one. Run, this is the first song she wrote with Ed. So it's the one they were writing in mid-May and then recorded in Santa Monica at the end of the month. The same process they did for Everything Has Changed. Apparently, Ed said he loves this song and he even had it on his iPod back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, when Taylor announced the track list for the Red Taylor's version, I was a little bit disappointed that the feature, or that the features had Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, me too.
Again, because of course we're gonna get Everything Has Changed with Ed Sheeran, and we already have Endgame with Ed Sheeran, so now we're gonna have another Ed Sheeran song, which is fine.
Justice for Niall Horan.
I have nothing against Ed Sheeran, but I feel like we already have a couple songs with him, so I would have liked to see somebody different, but I still think that it'll be a good song. I do like them together. I think their songs together are nice. Run is a very vague general title.
I think it's going to be, if I had to guess, it'll be kind of like, I knew you were trouble, like I should have run away from you,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, what's kind of fun about speculating on the vault tracks is that since we already have Red, the album.
Yeah, we have like a frame of reference.
Yes. Yeah, we have that frame of reference and we kind of know the themes, generally speaking. So I think we can kind of have a decent idea of what the vault tracks will be about, because we also know what Taylor was up to at the time. So, and like how her relationships were. So I think we can pretty well guess. But of course, like I've been saying, you never know. We could be completely off base. I kind of agree with you about Run. I kind of expect it to be a little bit more upbeat than the other vault tracks.
Maybe like folky?
Yeah, maybe. If it's with Ed and Everything Has Changed was written around the same time, I guess.
I love Everything Has Changed.
Yeah, me too. I kind of would think it's going to be a similar vibe to that, but
yeah,
we will see.
Okay, and the last one, that's not really a vault track, but Better Man.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Inner Circle, they said, Taylor's studio version is much more guitar-driven than Little Big Town's, with continuous hooks and lead riffs. Her vocals have strong emotional depth and convey feelings of sadness and wishing things had turned out better. Hot take, I'm not really the biggest fan of this song.
Yeah, I don't really like it that much either.
And I do like Little Big Town, but...
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny, like, I don't know, is Taylor featured in Little Big Town's recording of Better Man?
I don't think so. She did the live version that one time at the Bluebird Cafe,
mm-hmm.
but
I kind of would like for Little Big Town to maybe do background vocals for her on this song. I think that would add something kind of cool to it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty.
But I guess they're not, so it's just gonna be Taylor. I'm really not, if I'm being honest again, that excited for this one, because I'm not a huge fan of Better Man. Also, if all of the vault tracks are on the slower side, I probably won't listen to them that much, because honestly, with the Fearless vault tracks, I hate to say this, but or not all of them, some of them kind of blend together for me, the slower ones, and I would hate for the same thing to happen with Red. Because for the Fearless vault tracks, the ones I listen to on a regular basis are probably just That's When and Don't You, because those are a little bit faster paced. With all that to say, I'm excited. I'm intrigued. I do really love Red, the album. So I think that there's a decent chance I will like these songs. And whether or not I like them personally doesn't have any bearing on how they are as songs, which I would expect for them all to be beautifully written, beautifully sung.
We have breaking news during this recording right now. Taylor is going to be the musical guest on SNL November 13th. So, yeah, I'm so excited.
Okay, well, that's fun.
That is so exciting. Oh, my gosh.
We'll Yay. See what she sings. Most likely something from this album.
Okay, so that was our breaking.
So I wonder if she will...
Let's see who the host is. Hold on.
I wonder if she'll make one of these songs a single then and sing it on SNL, or if it'll be like...
It's the day after it comes out, so it'll be out.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I wonder if one of these songs will be a single that she's going to try to promote, or if she's just going to sing a random song off of it, like she did with Lover, right? Or, well, when she was a musical guest, she sang Lover and...
I don't know who this host is. Jonathan Majors?
Never heard of him.
But that's super exciting. Yay.
I was expecting it to be bigger than that, I have to say. I was a little... The way you were reacting, I was like, what's happening? But that's good. We always love a live performance from Taylor. So,
anyway.
We should also mention, before we move on... That I guess it's not, is it part of the vault? The All Too Well 10 minute?
Yes, version? I was actually just about to say that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're also going to be getting a freaking 10 minute long All Too Well. So, and
yes.
It's going to be explicit. I think one of the vault tracks is also explicit, but I forget which one.
Oh, I think it was the one with Chris Stapleton.
Okay. I bet you think about it.
Yes,
me.
I bet you think. I believe that's the one. Don't
yeah, and then. The 10-minute All Too Well will be explicit because she said that she drops the F-bomb in it.
That should be interesting. All Too Well is a song. I know that a lot of fans hold it up as, like, the gold standard of Taylor Swift songs. And I've kind of always felt like, since everyone loves it so much, I kind of have to love it. And I do. I really like the song. It's very good. But it's definitely not my favorite Taylor Swift song. But with that said...
Stop being a pick me. I'm kidding.
I'm not. I like it. I mean, maybe I even more than like it, but I definitely...
Autumn Leaves Falling Down, like, pieces into place.
Yes, it's very good. Very, very good. I just don't listen to it that much, and it's not something... Or it's not a song that's, like, up there for me as, like, top 10. I had it in my top 10, again, because I kind of felt like I had to, but I think I took it out because I was like, honestly, I don't listen to it that much. Anyway, with all that said, I'm very excited for the 10-minute version because that's obviously the longest song Taylor's ever put out. And I think that it's going to be very descriptive.
I'm interested to see if it's going to be new lyrics and stuff or if it's just going to be like musical interludes that take up the 10 minutes, like Venice Bitch by Lana Del Rey.
I kind of think it'll be new lyrics because I don't... think she would have bothered releasing this if it was just musical I mean, I'm sure there are because how can she sing for 10 minutes? But I think there definitely will be new lyrics introduced.
I don't know. Part of me thinks it'll be like Venice Bitch.
Well, at least she has to have the lyric with the F-bomb.
Yeah.
So, or she just took it out for the red version.
But she could say, till you fucked it all up.
Yeah, that's true.
Tore it all up better.
I'd be kind of disappointed if it was just, like, musical.
That's what I always thought, but maybe not.
I think there are going to be some new lyrics, but then, I don't know, I just can't shake the feeling that it's not going to live up to people's expectations because you have to think about it. If it is a bunch of lyrics that she cut them for a reason, you know? That's the thing with the vault tracks. For me, is that these songs were not put on the album for a reason. So, honestly, I can't get myself too excited because I feel like they are her rejects. So, I don't know.
But then also you have to remember that she had a totally different persona back then. Like, she didn't want to do any cursing. She probably didn't want to sing about sex that much except for, like, Treacherous.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely had different... not standards, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's just for me.
She wanted to be more family friendly.
For me, with the vault tracks, I feel like what I just said, basically that she didn't put them on the album, and she could have chose not to for the reasons you just said, but they also might not have been on there because they just aren't as good as the other songs.
Yeah.
So we will see. I don't know. So with the All Too Well, just to wrap that thought process up, I mean, I don't know.
I love a long song. Yeah, I love a musical interlude.
They did have to shave it down from 10 minutes to what is the current one, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, about.
They had to shave 5 minutes. So those 5 minutes, I guess we'll find out. Were they cut because they were too racy for Taylor at the time? Were they cut because they just didn't add as much to the song as the current lyrics do? Were they cut because they were boring? Were they cut because they were repetitive? I don't know. We'll find out.
I just saw a TikTok the other day. It was like Taylor back then, and she was like, yeah, the original version of All Too Well is 10 minutes, but you can't put a 10-minute song on an album. I was like, ooh. 10 years later.
Now we can. And I remember there was a Rolling Stone podcast.
Oh my gosh, that was
last
so long
year.
Ago.
Or
it was the one with Brittany Spanos, yeah.
Was it like last December or something? I don't know. It was a while ago. And I guess it was an Easter egg for this. Taylor was talking about All Too Well and the experience of recording, I guess, the 10-minute version.
I think she said she just sat down and started singing.
Yeah, from what she said, basically, yeah, she went into the studio one day. I guess she was having a bad day. And she just started singing All Too Well. And from the way she explained it, it almost sounded like that's going to be the 10-minute version, just whatever she started singing that
Part
day.
Part of me thinks it'll be, like, mumbling, like,
Well, I would think she'll clean it up for the album, but I think that's going to be the starting point of whatever she went into the studio and started singing that day. She's going to take that and use for the 10-minute version.
Okay.
Basically, from what I could understand, but if you want to go listen, it was a Rolling Stone podcast with Taylor Swift sometime within the last year.
Yeah, it was, like, a while ago, but yeah. I'm sure anyone listening to this has already listened to it.
And I remember everybody kind of freaked out because that was like the first sign that maybe we were going to get it on Red, Taylor's version.
Okay, let's just quickly touch on Taylor's TikTok.
Yes.
What do you think of her TikTok?
I like it, I guess. I don't know. I don't have TikTok, so I just see them either on, I don't know. Does she post them on Instagram normally?
Yeah, I think she's done, like, some as reels.
Somehow I end up seeing them. I think that mostly her TikTok is for promotion purposes, basically, from what I can tell. So a lot of it just is, like, I don't know.
I have to say, I wasn't loving it until the autumn one the other day. That was so cute.
That's what I was going to mention. Like, I enjoy the ones that are just purely for fun. And not for, like, a promotional reason. So, the one she just did.
And then the cat one was really cute.
Yeah, the cat one was cute. And then the one she did where she was, like, visually recreating her iconic Tumblr post.
Tumblr.
That I never knew about until she did the TikTok. Because I didn't have Tumblr either. That was really fun. And that was cute. And it looked like she was baking her chai cookies, which we baked for the first time last year, and they're very good.
I'm gonna be baking them again.
Yes,
they're so good. I can see why she is doing TikTok, and yeah, I think anytime we get to see Taylor and like see what she's up to is a good time.
Yeah, honestly,
she used to be way more active, as everybody knows, but
yeah, and that's what I was gonna say. Any new Taylor content is appreciated in whatever form it comes.
Yeah.
It's just fun to see, like you said, what she's up to, what she's doing. And
it's always good too, like around the promotional cycles, we get to see her so much more, like just recently. And as this gets released, hopefully we get to see her even more.
Hopefully. So that's kind of a good segue into
Project Acorn.
Yeah, and just kind of what we expect is going to happen this month. The month of November, and whether anything in addition to the Red Taylor's version release will happen. So let's talk about that.
I have
for
a tweet from September 30th. I'm sure everybody has already seen it, but let's just read it again. Got some news that I think you're gonna like. My version of Red will be out a week earlier than scheduled, including the 4-disc vinyl on November 12th. I can't wait to celebrate the 13th with you and our new old Autumn Heartbreak album. The mm-hmm. tweet might not be that interesting, but the emojis are. Well, we have a scarf, a hard eye emoji, and two cameras,
mm-hmm.
which prompted a lot of people to think, like, maybe she'll do a Red Taylor's version long pond thing, and then maybe also an Evermore long pond.
Yes.
Because they are kind of similar in a way, Evermore and Red.
I really have always thought she would do an Evermore, we'll just call it long pond, even though she might not do it there. I always kind of expected a Folklore-style concert performance video, whatever you want to call it, of Evermore. I really hope she does it, because I would love to hear her explain the Evermore songs, because some of them are just, I feel like there's so much to them, and I would just love to hear her thought process behind them. And of course, hearing her perform them live would just be really great. And I always thought it would happen, and then I kind of gave up hope. But now that the Grammy,
two cameras too.
Well, also she submitted Evermore for a Grammy, and they say that the voting starts like mm-hmm. now or whatever. I don't really know that much about the Grammys, but supposedly it would make sense for her to do it now for Evermore because people think that's why she did the Folklore video to kind of campaign, I guess. So I would love that. And then Red, I don't really know.
Well, yeah, she did that one video where she was wearing the rose dress. Yes. And all of that. So people were like, she's definitely filming something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the sign outside of her apartment that said Acorn, and she dressed like a squirrel for Halloween. And I believe in the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together music video, she wore pajamas with squirrels on it.
Yes. So I definitely agree. It's something having to do with this release. I don't know. Yeah, if it's going to be like a, again, we'll just call it a Long Pond style.
That's what I would be hoping for instead of a recreated music video.
Yes, I was about to say, I really would not be super pumped about a re-recorded music video. Like, just being real.
I'd take it.
I would not care because it's the same music video just 10 years later. Not super pumped about that, but if there's some kind of different visual content, let's call it, for Red, Taylor's version, I would take that. I think that would be kind of exciting.
That would be so good, honestly.
And is there a possibility that she would be doing something like Kacey Musgraves did for her recent release?
That's what I was also thinking, like the visual album.
Yeah, like a visual album, a concert film is what they call it. Yeah. So something like that might be kind of fun, and I would really like that.
My bet is on either like the visual thing like Kacey just did, or like a Long Pond-esque that kind of thing.
Yes, I feel like there's something bigger than just the release of the album, because this is what I wanted to say before. In Taylor's tweet, she said, I'm so excited to release Red on the 12th and celebrate the 13th, which to me kind of means there's something else, because Red is being released on the 12th, so why would you celebrate it on the 13th?
Yeah.
But then I guess now we know she's doing the SNL performance on the 13th, but I don't really think that that's what that means.
Well, she could be doing SNL to promote, like, the concert film.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited she's doing SNL. Everyone was saying she would, but I really didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like, and that's the other thing, like, again, let's be real for a minute. Most of this album is something we've heard before. So I totally support Taylor and everything she's doing and why she's doing it. But I, to be honest, cannot get myself that pumped up about these re-recorded albums because most of it's stuff we heard before. And Red is, to me, the way she sounds on Red is so special, and I'm really not looking forward to the re-recording because, as we kind of saw with Fearless, some of the songs, like, she just wasn't able to capture the way that she felt in that moment, which, of course, makes sense because it's 10 years later. So the album itself, I'm not super pumped about. The vault tracks I am a little bit more excited for, but if there's something else, which sounds really greedy, but if there's something else in addition to it, I could get excited about that.
Yeah, and if she does the concert movie or something like that, I'm sure she would get Chris Stapleton, Phoebe, and Ed. And then I'm also thinking on SNL, maybe she'll get one of them.
Yeah.
To sing with her.
That would be
because I believe cool. Ed is doing it the week before her. He's doing it this week. Okay. So maybe he'll stay in New York City. Maybe. So that he can sing with her.
Oh, yeah, but that's also what I was going to say, because with Fearless, I feel like she did not promote it that much because, again, like, no shade. This is album, like, these are albums we've heard before, so especially just people who are, as they call them, the general public, who aren't really fans of Taylor, like, let's be real, they could not care less about this because they just don't care. Taylor's fans care more, but still, I feel like a big portion of them, again, it's, like, not something that's that exciting. So I don't think that she's going to promote Red that much, but now that she's doing this SNL performance, I'm like, does that mean that there's something else in addition to the re-recorded album? And I'm leaning toward yes. But again, I could be completely wrong, and I'm probably going to listen back to this in a couple weeks and feel stupid.
I think her team is definitely throwing different promotional styles at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, it is hard, and it's
because Fearless couldn't have been more different than this promotional style.
Yeah, and it's obviously Taylor's putting in all this effort. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to do this, and it's taking up a lot of her time to re-record the albums. Totally support the reason she's doing it. And I love that she's going to own all her albums. I think that's amazing. But with the promotion, it is kind of hard because she has to know that there's a lot of people who don't really care that much.
And she still has not released any single at all.
No. Which is different from Fearless because she released the like, track with Mary Morris. Four,
yeah.
Which is You All Over
Love
Me.
Love Story.
Yep, like Love Mr. Story, Perfectly and then Fine. Mr. Perfectly Fine. So she did a vault track, a re-recorded
She did version, two vault tracks and a re-recorded.
And then a vault track. So she did not do that this time, which is different. And I feel like she was much more vocal in the promotional lead-up to Fearless. But I guess she is on social media a lot with Red, too. So we'll see. And I would assume that this album will perform very well, just as Fearless did, because she is the music industry after all.
Hell yeah.
So that's good. Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about? Any predictions we want to make?
I think we just about covered it.
Yes. I'll make one final prediction. I know that people have been kind of wondering whether Taylor will redo her little Christmas EP that she did a while back. Yeah. I think that that could be something that she does before the year's end because it is a smaller project. And of course, Christmas is now coming up. So I wouldn't be surprised if she did that. I also wouldn't be surprised if she didn't, because I'm really bad at predicting nowadays. I feel like the way that she's going about this whole process is very unpredictable.
For sure. It's very secretive.
And then the whole idea that she announced Red, like, way, way back, and it's been a long lead up to it, because what was it, like, June that she announced it?
Yeah, it was June.
So that was very unexpected. I still remember getting the notification that she posted on Instagram because I have Taylor notifications. And I was like, what? It's so random, but I'll take it. I'll take any Taylor content. I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah. I think we just about covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this month we will be all about Red Taylor's version. We will be covering everything she throws at us. And we're so, so looking forward to it. I know I'm really, really excited.
Yes. We are excited for this month. We're happy to be back after a long hiatus. And hopefully there's a lot to talk about this month.
And we're looking forward to doing it with y'all.
See you next time.
See you next time.